I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Episode 58 of the Premier Non-League Podcast begins now with Tackle This Together. Chris, myself and you, should we just sit back and let Gaz and Trev just talk now? Yeah, we sort of set it off here because we've seen no non-league football, well, me for at least 4 weeks and you for a couple of weeks.
I'll just interject when I feel it's necessary, just let the other two crack on, yeah.
Just nod and agree. I'm back from the sunny climes of Florida and sailing across the Atlantic.
It was raining.
In Florida, on the Sunday, yeah, when I went to see the Buccaneers game. It was the only day of rain, typically, when we go and take the wife to her first ever NFL game. So, it's going to be amazing. At least you can sunbathe, get to the ground, stop pissing it down in rain. So, God knows why they built a stadium without a roof in Florida, but God only knows that. Good old break. But I guess, Gaz, Trev, you're the non-leaguers this week. What have we been up to?
We've both been to the same place. It's going to be a bit boring, isn't it?
You have actually. You tagged yourself. Yeah. I've seen you tagging away on Facebook.
We did a PNLP day out with the important people and went to Barnet versus Maidstone. And Barnet did what they should have done, to be honest with you.
What, won?
Yeah.
Was that the replay?
No.
No, that's the Tuesday night.
Tuesday, isn't it?
As we record on a Monday.
Yeah, so we'll know. We as we always kind of joke, we should do two results. Trevor, you happy? Trevor, you sad?
I don't know, but did we play well on the telly box?
You tell me.
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
We did. Yeah,
you were awful.
Nah,
we'd be really good.
You were very good. No, you're very good. I think that sort of kind of leads talk about the telly box. I think we should really start off with yet again terrestrial television have screwed over non-league, and. I mean, I just look at some of the titles. I was just doing a little bit of research, obviously, being away, I haven't seen it. But I cannot believe. I mean, right, there's a couple of games, firstly, that are on Sunderland, Newcastle. Of course, that's got to be on TV. Brilliant, brilliant tie, brilliant pick. Should be a wicked game. Sunderland, obviously, they're doing well in the Championship at the moment, Chris, aren't they?
Yeah.
So Newcastle are stuttering a little bit. You know, it could be. Could it be the end of Eddie Howe if they lose that game? You know, he's sort of lost at the weekend. What was it, 4-0 in the end?
Four one
it was in the end, so that could be a game. I agree with that. And Wigan Man United, okay, it's a sort of northern sort of Manchester area derby. Wigan not doing amazingly great. Man United, you know, could be for a cup upset, but come on, Middlesbrough Aston Villa, Spurs Burnley, Palace v Everton, really? I mean, I know the terrestrial channels want to have Premier League games on there, but come on.
I think the thing about Aston Villa is they are playing the best football in the Premier League at the moment, so that it's an easy shoe-in for TV pickers to pick them. And it's, as we said before, it's all about advertising. You know, they want to charge top dollar for advertising, and the only way to do that is by putting the big-name clubs on. It is what it is. I've tried to stop trying to get too worked up about it, because it's not going to change ever. So the romance of the FA Cup finishes at the end of the second round. The romance is finished after that. As soon as you get the third round, it's nothing to do with romance.
I think the 85 grand they get for the TV picks, right? That's Martinez's salary for a week, roughly, give or take.
Yeah,
85 grand in the back pocket of Barnet, for example. Bad example, but a Barnet would be like a... They got a bit of money. They're not poor. They're not the poorest non-league club, are they?
No.
But 85 grand in a non-league club's pocket would do a lot more than paying Martinez's wages for a week.
It's like Maidstone, isn't it? Yeah, it would cover more or less their pitch.
Maidstone, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that would be a game changer for a club like that. So, yeah, the romance of the FA Cup finishes at the end of the second round. After that, it's got nothing to do with romance.
I mean, you look at it, you've got Newport or Barnet, obviously they're saying the replay, see what happens. Let's see what happens first. Versus Eastleigh, who did a job on Reading. And you think that would be a brilliant tie. Like, you know, that would get in. No, but it would be, Trev. No, you don't think it would?
Not really, no. I mean, if you're looking for TV games, you're looking for where the upset's going to be. You've got Sheffield United travelling to Gillingham.
Mm.
That's got upset written all over it. Especially, yeah, I mean, you can imagine Sheffield United maybe breasting a few as well. You know, I mean, I know it's not non-league, but you know that one stuck at Maidstone against whoever, Stevenage or Port Vale. Can't remember which one got through. Might have been Stevenage, but again, you know, League One against National League South. You're asking for the upset. That's where they should be going. Not showing Premier League games you can watch on Sky. Appreciate probably not everybody's got Sky still, but nip to the pub and watch those games twice in a year, some of them.
Yeah.
No, I think Newport or Barnet versus EC, they will want, if Barnet beat Newport, then you're in the next round and there'll be a non-league team in the fourth round of the FA Cup, which you'd like to think should be again on TV, but you might get an unfavourable draw. Say, you know, say Walsall beat Southampton and it's Walsall versus Barnet. Will they ignore that again or something like that? Do you see what I'm saying?
That would never be on TV, ever.
It was once, actually. Once upon a time, on Friday night, we had to Walsall.
But not in the third round of the FA Cup.
No.
You know, like I said, my point is, as soon as the second round's over, romance is out the window. It's all about the coin. Simple.
And I used to love that same growing up and the magic of the FA Cup. Yeah, I really did.
It's gone now.
You know, it's gone. It's gone. I mean, I look at it, obviously I wasn't on the last one, but, you know, Cray Valley Paper Mills taking Charlton to a replay. That's the magic of the FA Cup. Charlton then going to Gillingham and losing to Gillingham 2-0, who aren't doing great in League Two. New sack Harris not that long ago and got a new manager in and, you know, beat Charlton 2-0 quite convincingly. And Charlton had the full screen squad. That's magic. This ain't magic anymore, and it's just become boring.
I think the FA Cup's lost its appeal the whole way down. I mean, the first few rounds are quite good. Obviously, you've got the non-league sides. I reckon me and James are probably the last sort of generation that probably had that love for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Sort of your mid-30s, sort of wanting to... You every Saturday, the Saturday FA Cup final day on a Saturday was special.
Oh, amazing. Right?
Yeah. But now it's like...
Didn't they start at like... midday or something, the whole build-up, or 11 a.m.
No, before then, wasn't it? When they used to leave the flipping, they'd have them at the hotels, wouldn't they, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, the programmes generally started at midday, but the build-up started before that. You would get like an early kind of piece of footage of the teams in the hotel, and then you see them getting on the bus. And but I've got to be honest, I haven't watched an FA Cup final for more than 5 years. I have to be honest.
Yeah, with you there.
Hasn't there been other fixtures? The last few years, there's been other fixtures on the same day as the FA Cup.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And it's 5 o'clock or something, isn't it now? 5 o'clock kickoff?
Yeah.
Last year it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, wasn't it? Because it was Manchester. Yeah, it was City versus United, wasn't it?
Was that a semi-final?
But remember the old days they used to all have a cup song, a final cup song?
Yeah.
I remember Donna Summer and Arsenal, Hot Stuff. Yeah, I remember that, like, stupidly. And I used to, it was always fun because you'd get them trying to go one-on-one in the charts and you'd hear it the weekend before who got to number one out of the FA Cup songs and they were ridiculous. I mean, the Arsenal one stands out to me. Huh?
The Anfield rap.
Yeah, the Anfield rap.
Spurs have had numerous ones.
When did that stop? When's the last one you can actually remember?
Oh,
probably not long after the Premier League was formed, I guess.
But I remember the Donna Summer one, Arsenal. That was after, because I would have been too young to remember that.
It must have stopped in 1991, because Spurs haven't been in an FA Cup final.
Here he goes. Dust in that cupboard.
You're absolutely right, though, James. That was part of, you know, 2 weeks beforehand, was that single coming out, watching it try and get to the top of the charts, the top five.
2008 was the last one, and it was Cardiff. Bluebirds flying high.
Oh, really? Yeah, fair enough.
Reached number 15 in the UK single charts.
Which still ain't bad.
It's not bad at all.
No.
Yeah.
That's before Spotify and everything, really, isn't it? And all that lot. Yeah. So they started taking it into iTunes chart. But it's nice reminiscing about this because it makes me sort of happy to think about. As I said, I remember, you know, the helicopter flying over the hotel, following the team bus down to Wembley, the walk down Wembley Way, and you know, I've never experienced that as a Charlton fan. We won the FA Cup when before my dad was even alive, so no one would even remember that. But you know, the magic has gone, sadly, and you know, it's what Gaz said earlier. It's the 85 grand in a non-league team's back pocket. Man United, that's like a drop in the ocean for them. Well, maybe not with the Glazers still in charge, but you know. It's just crazy. Yeah.
85 grand will play for one of our under-18s for a week, probably.
I was going to say, yeah. That's about right, yeah, these days.
Yeah, don't make him clean boots anymore. Can you imagine that, throwing the toys out the pram like that, cleaning boots? That's maybe where some of the sad attitude comes from some of these players. Like, Chris, who was your favourite player at Shields that you hate, the guy that's now somewhere else? And
JJ Hooper.
JJ Hooper. I mean, can you imagine asking him to clean boots?
No.
Yeah, maybe it would have sorted his attitude out.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you just swore on nearly live radio.
Sorry, my apologies.
Duper. Anyway, let's look at the non-league ties there. So do you fully expect Barnet to win day after recording this, Trev? Do you expect them to beat Newport, or do you think it's going to be a tough game?
Tough game, but by all accounts, we deserve more out of the first game. We had a full week preparation before Maidstone and the trophy on Saturday, and I think Gaz would agree. It was a good. There was no standout players, were there? It was a good.
Oh, I said it on the way back, didn't I? I said there was no players that stood out, but actually the whole team performance. Granted, from a team in a lower league, but they're still a full-time team, I think, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a team performance. Not one player stood out, but every single one of them stood up and it was counted.
Yeah. I'd fancy us to get through. You know, great incentive. Next round, Eastleigh at home, you know, there's going to be an National League side, excuse me, in the fourth round regardless. So
not on TV.
Yeah, not on TV, no. Well, you know, we are for the replay tomorrow night, so we can't grumble too much. You know, it's a bit of a bit more cash in Uncle Tony's back pocket.
I mean, it would be great. I mean, it's just nice to think that there's going to possibly be a non-league team in the fourth round of the FA Cup. And then, you know, if it was that, then it could be the fifth round as well.
Mm.
You know, that's what's really nice to think. And thinking about that, is that three wins away from Wembley after that fifth round? Is it four wins?
Yeah, three wins after fifth round.
Can you imagine if the magic really did happen and say Barnet or Eastleigh or someone got to the semi-final of the FA Cup in Wembley playing something ridiculous like Man City? It'd be amazing for the world of non-league and football in general, wouldn't it? That would be on. That probably still wouldn't be on TV either.
Yeah.
They'd probably put it on ITVX streaming only or something like that. Yeah, because no one wants to watch it. I'll put Coronation Street Omnibus on instead on the Saturday.
I think we might have to throw that one though if we're in the semi-final and we've got the playoffs coming up.
Yeah. What would you take? Yeah, anyone would take that, wouldn't you? You'd take league over cup any day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, FA Cup, magic's gone. We'll keep an eye out. Good luck for those non-league teams in this weekend's draw and any replays in case. But we've got the trophy draw. You obviously, Gaz and Trev, you went to the Barnet game. That's amazing. And Barnet got Radcliffe or Redditch, am I correct, in the next round?
Yeah.
Possible for an upset, would you say? Or do you think that should be a game, set and match again?
Well, I don't know. Radcliffe are doing brilliantly. I haven't looked to see how Redditch are doing, to be fair. But we prepare as we would as if it was a Northern National League game. We'll have an overnight stay, but the fact the draw's not regional is absolutely hideous and horrendous when you look at the ties that came out on Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. Chorley going to Whitehawk or Hive. Hampton going all the way to Hartlepool, Dorking going to Macclesfield, Hendon going to Oldham, us obviously if we against Radcliffe or Redditch, and Fylde going all the way to Avonlea. I mean, this is $5,000 for the winners. $5,000. That ain't, yeah. I mean, Chris is, you can't see
his face
says it all. I mean, that's not even going to cover our overnight stay in the hotel should we win. I know Radcliffe or Reddit should have to pay the travel costs, but it's horrendous money. Horrendous.
When do you think the regional should start and end?
It was regional up until the last round, the third round, and I think it should stay until at least the quarterfinals.
Or, and I would ask listeners, if this is the first time, listen to our previous podcast where Trevor and I went through this. They're going to have to either regionalise it until the quarterfinals or increase prize money to incentivise clubs. That's just $5,000.
Mm. Yeah, 5,200 for the winners and 1,500 quid for the losers.
It's an insult. It's an insult to the intelligence of the players, staff and supporters. There we go.
I mean, imagine Fylde, for example, go to Averley, Fylde win. Averley are going to get 1,500 quid. But out of that, they've got to cover Fylde's travel costs and they are entitled to stay overnight on the Friday night. Being a full-time team as well, they probably will do. That's ridiculous. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The wonder why clubs don't take the competition seriously.
That's right. Yeah. We're well out of it. Happily out of it. Having said that, it's going to cause us a backlog at South Shields because Hereford are through in the fourth round and we're due to play them on that day. So that's going to be another midweek because obviously we were meant to play Bishop Stortford away last Saturday, was postponed. And now, so the two of the longest journeys are technically now going to be midweek fixtures. So unless the league can come up with a solution.
Bishop Stortford on Tuesday night is doable from Worthing as well.
not fun though.
So yeah, South Shields, for instance, are well out of the competition. Glad to see the back of it for this year. I'd ask others to listen to our previous podcast to understand my feeling.
But, I mean, thinking of all the above and what we've been saying about the FA Cup and how the magic's gone, would this be an opportunity for a broadcaster to say, hang on, like, you know, TNT, to say, right, let's make this a showcase event. Let's really put some glitz and glamour in it. Let's make this, like, the talk about tournament. Because, you know, given non-league, the Wrexham effect that it had last year and stuff like that, could they put a bit of glitz and glamour into the FA Trophy?
The only way I think they could do it is in exactly the same way as I think they should do the FA Cup and pre-draw the big sides so that they can't clash anywhere through, because then you won't get, like in the FA Cup, you won't get the likes of Spurs and Burnley, Arsenal and Liverpool on the TV because they won't be playing each other until it gets into the latter stages where they're the only sides left. But, I mean, I don't think there aren't many all-national league ties in it, but quite a few National League sides went out as it was. I think it's only Kidderminster versus Halifax or Altrincham's the only full-on tie. But if you'd have split those two up, you know, someone else would have got a decent draw out of it rather than those two playing each other. They've got to play each other twice already in the league this year. Why do they need another cup game as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, is it getting a sponsor in that would pay the money? Because as you rightly say, Chris, you know, the money awarded is nothing. So why are the clubs going to be bothered, especially if you have to pay other travel arrangements? Exactly. Is this maybe an opportunity for them to stop it? How can we make this, like, clubs take it seriously? Let's get more sponsorship money. Let's put the tender out for sponsorship. I don't even, is it Isuzu still?
I
can't imagine them giving much money for that. I mean, yeah, it's a headline sponsor, but it's a Zuzu truck. It's not exactly. And what was it before? Was it Buildbase? You know,
that was brilliant.
But Buildbase were a good sponsor. We discussed this on the last pod, I'll use the Northern Premier League Cup as an example. For several years pre-COVID. Clubs didn't take it seriously at all and often played reserve sides and blooded youth team players and clubs basically got out of the competition as quickly as they possibly could. And then the league and COVID hit and the league obviously kind of listened to a few voices and it hasn't been played since. It hasn't been resurrected. It cost clubs to take part in it. But actually cost clubs because obviously they weren't getting the big crowds because often the games were played on a Thursday night Wednesdays, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and so you weren't getting big crowds. It actually was costing clubs, and this is what's happening to the FA Trophy now, which is a scandal. It is a scandal that the clubs are losing out trying to win a competition.
I will just flip it the other way, though, because I saw earlier on Twitter, Lee Allison, the Hendon manager, you know, absolutely delighted drawing Oldham away. You know, Dom will be pleased they've got someone like Peterborough Sports coming to Horsham, and Macclesfield will be loving the fact they're taking on Dorking Wanderers, and the same for either Whitehawk or Hive would get Chorley. There is another flip side to it, you know, but as you know, as we've said, that financial side, I just don't think does it justice, you know, for a majority of the clubs that are still left in it.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame.
I think, to be honest, though, you look at anything, well, with the League Cup, Horsham have actually, because of their like more successes in the other competitions, they've actually withdrawn from the Isthmian League Cup. And it's another one clubs didn't enter. I mean, it was even things like the Sussex Senior Cup. This is the first year in a long time that was in Crawley were actually in it, and Worthing beat them. And it was a pretty all right team they beat as well. And, you know, I think sometimes League Cups in lower leagues, as you say, Trev, they cost clubs money. You know, why would you bother when, what? I mean, I'd love to know. I can't even think what the Isthmian prize money is. I mean, can't think it'd be much.
No, the Isthmian's not invitational. It's optional.
Yeah.
You don't have to enter it. So
if it's optional, what's the point?
I think because they've always run a competition. A lot of the, like as Chris said, a lot of the leagues have let them go by the wayside, but I mean, look down in Sussex, though. There's plenty of. I think I'm not sure if it's still the case, but I'm sure up to at least 2 years ago, you could, if you were able to get into the Vars as well as the FA Cup, you could play 7 cup competitions in Sussex. Mm. It's, you know, that on the top of 38, 40 league games is a massive, great long year. And that's without actually adding games into those cups when you have a run in them.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we have spoken about it before, but do you think it would be nice to do a National League Cup? You know, instead of something else.
They have. Yeah, it used to be called the Bob Lord Trophy, I think, back in the early 90s. And again, that got to the point where I think I remember, was it called the Club Call Cup at one stage? Remember Barnet winning it 5-4 against Hyde United? But they squeezed that in. I think they'd have good runs in cups and that, and they'd squeeze that into like some random date 2 days in between other games just because there isn't the space for it.
Mm. Could it be done as a pre-season thing?
Yeah, I've said sort of like some of the cup competitions, like the senior cup competitions, should start in pre-season. So actually you're playing for something those last couple of games rather than just, you know,
do they do that in Scotland?
Scotland. Yeah, they play a cup competition very early, don't they? First few weeks.
Nah. It's a shame because, you know, I think, to be honest, it seems to be, even from just our views on here, cup competitions, no matter what level we're at, are just kind of just going to the wayside now, and no one really cares about them. The only one, the FA Cup for a non-league side, because, you know, Premier League side, it's just bragging rights, really. That's all it is. It's not, you know, Man City, the prize, I don't even know what the prize money is. What's it, a million, couple of million or something like that?
1.8,
there you go. It's not really going to do anything. It's going to pay someone's salary for a week and a half or something like that, and that's it. Yeah. You know, it's not the way football's going. So it would be interesting to see, you know, over the next few years where these competitions go. And you know, you can imagine if the trophy or the Vars become optional, how many clubs would pull out of that? Because as you say, Trev, you quite rightly take a day out of Wembley, but you'd rather get promotion into a league above.
Mm, absolutely.
And there we go. Any trophy draws stand out for you? I think the Horsham one, obviously, versus Peterborough Sports, obviously, friend of the podcast, old Jimmy. Yeah, you've got Peterborough Sports, Horsham, which would be, I think, you know, Horsham, I've got no issue with Horsham. I know some Worthingites have a friendly rivalry with them, but I think they've done well. I like the club. I like the way it's run. Nice ground, nice people there. And, you know, done Sussex proud with their flag of the week. Did you see that as well? Just saying flag. Have you seen that one? It won BBC Sports flag of the week because it's literally yellow and green. It just says flag. I think it's just brilliant. It made me chuckle.
I think there's a potential of Chelmsford versus Billericay, isn't there? Which would be a fairly local sort of derby game.
I pause you there, Gaz. Have you seen on Hertz Police today?
No.
They've put out a wanted picture for Glenn Tamplin, the actual legitimate wanted. He's
really
he's skipped bail or something cool. like that. And they've it was earlier on. Someone shared it on a Worthing group and it goes, yeah, it's here it goes. Hertz Police, Glenn Tamplin, date of birth, 14/1/72, from last known addresses were Watford and Essex, reference number, blah blah, wanted for failing to attend St Albans Magistrates Court for a breach of court order.
Someone asked me a couple of months ago what happened to him, and I said I don't know. So he disappeared from Romford and then never.
I think it was me, wasn't it? We had the conversation about that.
It could have been, yeah. Yeah, I definitely spoke to someone.
Yeah, there we go.
Crazy. Wow.
There you go, Mr. Tamplin. I watched one of those YouTube videos of how they changed the ground after he left from those murals all over the wall. And, you know, the one outside, they rubbed him out and put something else on, but all of them down the tunnel in the changing room just looked like. You know how they say you should never sleep, paint a bedroom red or something, yeah. Unless you're doing extracurricular activities or something you're paying for, but you shouldn't ever paint it red, but it looked like a nightmare waiting to happen.
I think if I'm going to pick any out, Chesterfield going to Welling won't be easy. Danny Bloor, I love that. Hampton going to Hartlepool. Hampton are in such great form. Mel Gwynnett's got them playing really well.
Mm.
And probably Macclesfield Dorking, I think, would be interesting. Very yeah. interesting, that one.
Yeah, it's a lower league full-time side, isn't it? Against a hybrid National League side. So be very interesting to see how they get on there.
Yeah.
How Macclesfield doing in the league at the moment?
Okay, they're not where they want to be because of Radcliffe and Worksop, among others. So they are in the playoff. But they're not. They were expect to be flying high, but Radcliffe are going to take some stopping.
Absolutely, we're stopping.
Yeah, Bernard and John all at the helm.
Yeah, good lads, good lads.
I still love when I used to watch that program on Salford City.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I love programs like that. I mean, it was just amazing to see them in the ground that's very similar to maybe what Worthing were playing in, maybe even worse to what they're playing in now at the arena there. It's and I visited that arena in, a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic, I think it was the summer before the pandemic. And it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Done a lot of work on it now, though, haven't they? It's a bit different now.
Yeah. I saw it just when it was finishing off, and that's the season they won promotion via the playoffs. But they lost their last home game. I think they would have won automatically if I'd been there, but they lost it and they had to go in for the playoffs, and they won that year, I think. But I mean, I always, when I look at that sort of ground and think of the sort of the surroundings of where the actual ground is that something that Worthing would be, you know, in the future, is that how they would look? I mean, I don't think we've got enough space, but you guys that have been to Worthing, Gaz and Trev, they can dig out that big bank behind the dugouts, and you know, that's goes quite a far way back. And you know, behind the goal at St Elmo Road, and they can't really do much there. But you know, where the actual stand is now, the shed end, that could be taken down and put a nice seated stand up if they needed to.
Yeah, I don't think they could do too much with it there, though, can they? It's so tight. I think their neighbours on Bulkington Avenue would have something to say about a stand looking out of their back window.
Very true, very true. But then you look at what happened at Dorking and Meadowbank and stuff, you know, they're all overlooked. They put that massive fence up behind all those houses. I'm pretty sure they weren't keen on that, were they?
No. It's certainly something to think about, isn't it?
It would be, yeah. It would be. I'm sure I've had many conversations with our chairman over years, and he sort of does say, like, you know, you've got to modernise where you are, but you've also got to look at the bigger picture. How much money do we spend on modernising, or do we look at taking it somewhere else if we want to grow? And he's completely right, because you don't want to be spending. That's why they rely on the grants that Worthing do. They're not going to build without grants, because there's no point. There's actually no point, because they spend all this money and we don't get anything, and we don't get promoted, or we need to move grounds, then it's a waste, because you have to do it again.
Yeah.
But moving on, talk about Worthing in a bit. Chris, South Shields, how are they doing at the moment?
We've had no football. It'll be our first game on Saturday, first game in 3 weeks. Bishop Stortford postponed. And then we had no game at the weekend because we were out of the trophy. There was talk of a rearranged game with Farsley, but it didn't materialise. It's just being given a chance, I think, for players who were carrying knocks to get fit. But Shields, of the sale of the club is up for sale, and there was a write-up in the Daily Mirror with Mike Walters the other day. So clearly they're looking to try and accelerate things. Geoff Thompson clearly wants out as quickly as possible. So it was in. It was almost like a full page in the Daily Mirror.
Oh, I read that.
And yet again, you know, get your facts right. You know, it said three promotions when we've had four, and there's just little things like that. It just grabs you. You think, get it right, man.
That's a journalism, Chris. That's why.
Well, you know, it's lazy journalism. So there's a lot going on in the North East, though, away from South Shields. Brandon United, a historic club in the Northern League, not the Northern Premier, but the Northern League. They've resigned from the Northern League. Which is a real shame. It's a historic club, Brandon. And now, of course, over the weekend, Mask have had their licence removed by the Northern Premier League. So the next two fixtures are postponed. So looks like the league aren't happy with them for going ahead with a share issue without telling anybody. They're trying to change the ownership model, and shares have been made available to supporters, and the uptake for them has been fantastic. But it looks like they haven't told anybody. And the Northern Premier League obviously must have their rules. I haven't looked too much into it, but there's an investigation ongoing at the moment. But as it stands, Mask United have had their licence removed.
What does that mean, though? Like, what does it mean in the long run? Could they just be expelled from the league?
Well, perhaps. The league are currently investigating all of the circumstances surrounding it. They'll be wanting to know the history of this change in ownership model.
Mm.
And basically what they've done, it's like going ahead with building something without getting planning permission, isn't it?
Yeah, you know,
they've gone ahead with a new change of ownership. They haven't informed the league. And the league have said, whoa, hold on. This isn't right. You haven't told us what's going on at this football club. And so they've just suspended their license for the next two games whilst the investigation is ongoing. So it'll be a very, very interesting couple of weeks coming up here.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about ownership. Does it worry you? Like the club being up for sale, that it could go one of two ways. Obviously, Geoff has taken a club and developed the club as it is. No matter, I know you've all over the years had disagreements and you haven't agreed with everything he's done, but he's done an all right job, it seems. Now, obviously, I can look at it. You've had it being a Sunderland fan, Cowboys taking over, thinking it might be a little bit different at non-league. I've obviously had it at Charlton. You know, over the years, you have owners come and thinking they can do everything. Could all the hard work be undone if the wrong decision's made? And do you think Geoff would really take care in appointing an owner, or does he just want a quick disposal of it and the person owes him more money he's going to take on?
A little bit of all of the above. Really wants the club to go into good hands, because he has put a lot of, you know, it was in the Daily Mirror, it said £8 million. Well, I was under the impression it was more like 10 million that he's invested over the last 8 years.
What's 2 million between friends, eh?
Well, of course, yeah.
Pocket money.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Aye. But clearly, you know, the club is in a strong position on the pitch. The infrastructure is pretty good. There's a lot that can be improved. But ultimately, it could go Pete Tong very, very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. In a matter of weeks. Because at the end of the day, you know, if football players realise that things aren't going well behind the scenes, their minds aren't 100% on it anyway. You've seen it at other football clubs. Clearly, he wants out as quickly as possible. How quick? Well, I don't know. But it wouldn't be in the Daily Mirror if he didn't want it to go through as quickly as possible.
Have you heard any rumours?
No.
No?
None much. I mean, Lee Cattermole, the former Sunderland player, he was at a home game a couple of months ago sitting with Jeff Thompson, and you think, is he going to be part of a consortium? You know, there was a slight rumour of something from America, I don't know. But the way they did the write-up, you know, could this be another Wrexham? I didn't. Like, again, that's lazy journalism.
Little mix.
Am I worried? Yes, I am. I've got to be honest, because it could go wrong very, very quickly. Because ultimately, Jeff Thompson has been funding the club, not just in terms of investment, but at the end of a financial quarter or a financial year, he writes a check to cover all the losses. So if he's not prepared to write another check, how are they going to cope with the losses? Because it is a loss-making club. The new International Academy, which was meant to be the game changer, it still could be, isn't yet, because they've only got, I think, 13 or 14 students when it needs probably 30 to 40 students to make it the game changer. Apparently there's more students coming in the new year, but it won't be now until perhaps next September for another cohort coming where it really is a game changer. So there's losses to be met between now and then. So, it is quite a concerning time, I have to be honest. I'm not getting too wound up about it. It is what it is. I haven't got the money to change anything.
No.
I would love to. But, genuinely concerned.
Could Catmull have been there just to support Arco, do you think? Could that have been or was he playing in Sunderland at the time he was there? Or possibly not?
Was it Middlesbrough, yeah. I think, at the time Catmull was there. Perhaps, I don't know. But it was just it's easy to put two and two together.
It's like the same at Worthing. We've had people over the years, Trev, you've been a Barnet fan, you've had ups and downs of ownership over the years as well. And, you know,
Owner for 30 years.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, you know, what you feel he's putting in and out of the club, you know, you've shown your frustrations with what he does at the club you know, what is his ultimate goal of the club. I mean, you hear it at Worthing, local businesses wanting to get involved all the time. You know, there's rumours that local businesses have approached the club, say, look, we'll pay for a stand, we'll put our name all over it for 10 years, but apparently it's been rejected. You know, Worthing have recently got rid of volunteer board members. So it's just the paid for staff now, or the money men that are on the board now. So volunteers have kind of been pushed to the wayside, which is a very interesting decision, because one of them was the one that sort of deals with all the grants and the funding. And one of them was a sort of guy that was one of the main ground stadium manager. And he was like, you know, he was an ex-architect. He did all the plans and drawing for extra stands, and they've got rid of him because they said they're going for a more professional model. Now
got rid of the footballing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, guys. You've nailed it. Why would you do that?
But again, Chris, this is, sorry, Trev, but Gaz and Trev will know they've been redoing that front, like, part of the club, you know, the old bar that was a gym that's being redone. That was meant to be a fans bar. It's not happening anymore. It's going to be an entranceway. It's going to be a reception. Why does Worthing need a reception area?
Because they're putting in such an infrastructure to be a full-time club. That simple. A lot off the pitch of what they're doing now is what Mark wanted to do. But because Dorkin have sprung too quickly upwards on the pitch, they haven't been able to keep up with it off the pitch. And when I spoke to Mark Barrett at Horsham when I was there in September, Horsham watch what Worthing and Dorking do and try and get one step in front of the curve, because they can see from where they are at step three what happens at step two and one. So when they're ready to go, they're ready to go. But that's what Worthing are trying to do. When you get to National League level, there isn't room for the volunteers. That is the problem. It becomes, you've got to be, when you get into that top division, you've got to be a full-time outfit, whether that's on the pitch or off the pitch. You can't lack anywhere. It's literally that simple. Or if you look at this year, four sides that came up last year are the sides that are filling the four relegation places this year. That is either a case of their recruitment on the pitch is not good enough, or they haven't got the backup off the pitch to be able to support what's happening on the pitch. If they're not marrying in two, which is what Mark's finding out he has to deal with very quickly whilst trying to maintain the team on the pitch as well, it's a really, really tough division.
But do you think by getting rid of these volunteers at the moment, they're the people that are sorting the grants, they're the people that are finding the volunteers? I understand you say, you know, that for me, that reception area is not needed at the moment. I can understand why you say it will be needed for a full-time club. Yes, I completely agree. But you know, at the moment, the facilities at the ground itself are not big enough or good enough for a match day experience as it stands with the fans that are coming. That could be done at a later date. It's not that hard to convert that area into reception desk if needed. But I'm sort of saying, you know, when you get rid of these volunteers, and I'm not talking out of turn, it's quite public knowledge, but they kind of were just brushed to the wayside and they were the people, the lifeblood. You know, this weekend, these volunteers basically had to step in because they didn't organise enough staff to sort the women's game out. It's like just silly things like that. But if they'd still been involved, they would have been sorting that themselves. But they, for the love of the club, said, oh, yes, OK, we'll do it. We'll do the food, because they didn't get anyone in to organise it. You know, things like that. It's like they sort of think of one thing and think really well at one thing. And, you know, it's not anyone that listens to this podcast over years. You guys know I can be very critical about the club that I love and care for. But it's only said from a fan's point of view. And, you know, sometimes I think they make decisions like that and you're thinking, hang on a second, this isn't ready or right at this present time.
Yeah, I get that. But if you made the playoffs this year, you've got such a short turnaround to be in that top division next year. If you're not ready, you'll be sitting in that bottom spot. Doesn't matter what you do. Because, like I've said, you've got to keep up off the pitch as well as on the pitch. And that if Worthing getting the playoffs, win it, they're in front of Dorking's curve already, because you've got that thing set. And even if you went up and come straight back down again, because you've got that infrastructure off the pitch, then the following season a promotion tilt becomes easier because you've got that already in place and it's been in there for months. So it is harsh to get rid of the volunteers, but that National League is effectively League Three. There isn't space for clubs that can't hold their own. It really is that difficult. I mean,
adding something else to it, could they not have had, you've got like the executive board and then like maybe a little non-executive board of the footballing people who they've got rid of, just as like a little side show on the shoulder to say, look, we need to do this for the footballing side of it. But I appreciate you're doing that for the business, but we need to do this for the footballing side of it.
That would be good, I think. Yeah, I mean, from the Supporters Association, we're actually trying and we're going to push forward and ask if we can have a non-executive person sitting on the board and they can come to our meeting so we can work together to forge a better relationship between the fans and the club. You know, they might not have to listen. We don't have to listen to them. But I think in a working relationship, that would be quite a good idea.
Yeah, we need to work together.
Yeah, because, you know, if they're coming to us asking for grants about things that don't really benefit fans, like they wanted re-levering of seats in the bar, but that bar's often closed after games for private events. Why would we as a support association donate towards a thing that's not going to satisfy supporters? You know, and if we had someone on the board, this could be sort of discussed at an earlier level. But anyway, that's another thing, another time. I'm aware we're talking about Worthing quite a lot, but I haven't been here lately, so I can't really talk much about Worthing, but apart from we keep shipping goals.
Yeah, four's a magic number, isn't it?
Yeah, again, two games in a row, 4-0 away Western, and we conceded four and ended up throwing it away right at the end with Ibia Kambi, former player, scoring the equaliser right at the end. And for the first time, I think some of the fans have witnessed it a long time, players were getting booed onto the pitch, not off, booed onto the pitch.
They're getting booed onto, sorry, I'm not interrupting, but they're getting booed onto the pitch in the playoffs of the National League South.
Yeah.
Just add some sort of perspective to that.
Right? Quigler, I mean, yeah, it's. I think what it is I don't agree with booing. I mean, I have over the years, not Worthing, you know, at Charlton and stuff like that, you know, but he's getting to a point now where fans are getting really fed up because, you know, Hinch said to us at the end of last season, we don't want to be shipping massive goals again. We need to sort that out, and it's just got worse. As Trev said, four's a magic number. So we're out the County Cup to Littlehampton, which was a shame. Lost on penalties. A team two steps below us. I don't know. We have these blips, but I think that's the sixth time this season that four goals have been conceded, and that ain't good enough. We might, yes, as you say, Gaz, it is ridiculous saying you. Well, we're in the playoffs at the moment, but sadly, I think if this carries on, that could falter very, very quickly. I think the only reason we're there is because other teams aren't performing that well either.
I think What's more alarming, though, is crowd figures dropping.
Oh, 850 the other night or something, wasn't it?
I think I actually called it on the way up to Barnet on Saturday.
Yeah, you did,
I said to Trev, I think it'd be interesting to see what the attendance is today after midweek. And the last few weeks, to be honest with you. I mean, it's still up. I mean, I remember watching Worthing when there was less than sort of 150 people there 20 odd years ago. But it's concerning when it's half of potentially what you were getting last season for some games.
I think the problem was, Gaz, is that obviously in October, a lot of October, beginning of November, all the games were away in the West Country, which put a lot of fans off. And then when you're getting tanked and beaten after all these travels, it upsets people. And, you know, the weather starts getting cold. It's getting towards Christmas. They're like, do Christmas shopping with the wife, the family, the kids, whatever. And they're not really watching quality on the pitch, sadly, at the moment. And, you know, fans are quite fickle sometimes. We all know that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, obviously, Brighton were at home on Saturday as well, which that probably didn't help. I think you probably had 200 onto that, potentially, with Brighton fans and that sort of thing. So you're at 1,000 there, which is probably just about sustainable. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see over the next few weeks what the crowds do.
We've got Maidstone on Saturday, and that's a big game. And obviously they beat us 4-0 again earlier in the season. So that'll be a good rerun. But I think I've seen the problem, as you say, the Brighton thing, is there's a lot of fans that I know went to Worthing as well, but they're going around Europe at the moment. Rightly so. They're following in Europe. So the money they've got to go and spend on football is being spent on flights, accommodation, which I cannot blame them. But I haven't seen a few fans this season, maybe once or twice. But majority of them are going to these midweek Europa League games, using all their leave and having to either work on the Saturday or, you know, all their money's gone, which is understandable. But it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be, and this is the first time I've said it in a few years, I said it on our podcast, that the club have had a bit of a downfall, like fans getting a bit of pressure on the players and things, but the players haven't experienced for a long time. But it is what it is. Football for you. Trev, Barnett, happy days at the moment?
Always happy days, apart from Dean Brennan being linked with Burton Albion.
Oh!
I've had a ton of messages. When was it? The other morning? Was it yesterday morning? I woke up to about, I don't know how many messages on Twitter and WhatsApps as well. Any truth in this link? I'm like, what's everyone going on about? So I'm going on to have a look, and they sacked Dino Mamria on Saturday after they lost 2-1 to was it Stevenage, I think? But funny enough, John Dreyer, who was with us at the start of the season last year and the start of the season and left to go to Burton, is still there as assistant manager. He didn't get the tin tack as well. So Dean was, what was he, Even's favourite, I think he was on Saturday evening. He's now drifted out to 4-1, but my God, the amount of panic going through people was just honestly unreal, to be honest. But the fact he's under contract for just under 2 years, and Burton's chairman has not paid any compensation ever in the 13 years he's been at the club, you know, unless Dean quits, which I don't think he will, because the man with integrity that he is. He'll, you know, Burton will have to go through the front door, same as he told Gillingham to do last year. And Gillingham said, no.
He's out at 6-1 now. Gary Warrett's the favourite. Steve Cotter and John McGrath at Micklover.
There you go. There's tons of out-of-work managers there in that list as well. Mark Bonner, he was at Cambridge. Gareth Ainsworth's on the list. You know, he's not going to have to pay anything for them, apart from just to employ him.
Lee Bowyer's on the list.
Oh,
there's always one red herring.
Yeah, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's still there.
He's done Burton, hasn't he? Twice.
Yeah. That's his last club as well.
It is. Yeah. It is. Some. I sometimes think when managers keep going back, it ain't for the best.
No,
that's the
no.
third time. It's not for the best. It hasn't worked once. It hasn't worked twice. It's not going to work a third time. It's like that's why that my the example for that is all with Frank Lampard at Chelsea. He should never have gone that earlier on in his managing career. He should have grafted his way up the leagues. It's like you saw. Was it Cardiff's manager one last season or something? Went to what non-league club did he go to?
Cardiff's at Hornchurch.
Exactly. He said, "I took a step down to build my knowledge and you know graft up." And I think that's what a lot of these players do, but they don't want to. I mean, you look at Stevie G, he's managing a bang average side in Saudi Arabia because of the money. He should, if he really genuinely wants to be a manager, go down. Mate, you don't necessarily have to drop down to, you know, non-league, but go down the leagues, work your way up and you'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. You never know. It does, because I think a lot of these big name players, I mean, apart from Roy Kent at AFC Richmond, I mean, the new manager after Ted Lasso left, you know, I'm quite happy at that. but Barnett, if he goes, would you be concerned or do you think he'd be leaving the club in a better place and you think you could get someone else in?
Oh, tons better. Tons better. There's plenty out there who'll fancy it. It's what flipping decision Tony makes if he did, but it would be a complete probably revamp. The entire backroom team, I would imagine, would go with Dean because they've gone. Most of them have been with him for a long while everywhere he's been. So, but it's a massively much better place than it was when he first arrived with a certain Mr. Kuehl. You know, but as I said though, you know, in a way we should be proud of what he's done, and he deserves to be in the talking for some of these jobs for what he's achieved in the two and a bit years he's been at the Hive.
Yeah, I mean it's good to see. You know, it's nice, always nice to see when non-league managers are linked. I mean, we've had it plenty down here with Hinch, and any sort of job in the South comes available, he's always linked to it. I mean, the form of Worthing at the moment means we're probably quite safe if anything comes up at the moment. I couldn't see a team above playing like that. But, you know, I think Barnett, it's funny because obviously since I've known you and since we've been doing this podcast, it's been a rollercoaster for you as a Barnett fan. You know, Harry Kuehl, you were never keen on, and you know, that went, and then he's come in, Dean, and sort of from a sort of caretaker point of view, wasn't it? And now he's sort of taking it over as full-time, bloody catapulted them to the sort of top of the non-league pyramid, which is what you want to see as a Barnett fan. You should be in League Two, at least.
Yeah,
and then well, we can say goodbye to Trevor forever.
It's a little bit early last year, and you know, we've had a blip the last few weeks, which hopefully we've now come out the other side of. You know, we're second round of the FA Cup of a replay, fourth round of the FA Trophy, sitting third in the National League, 3 points off second. Can't really ask for much more than that. There's plenty of other teams that would swap places with us,
and a game in hand.
And a game in hand on Bromley, which is against Dagenham.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an interesting, because I really think after Christmas is, we always say it, is when you start the league start forming and the shape of the table start really carrying through. And, you know, the Christmas period is very important in all divisions of football, I'd say, in England and even the UK. And you'll then sort of see the ones that will be pushing. I mean, yeah, you could do. Was it what team famously was in the relegation zone at Christmas and got promoted to the Championship or Premiership? I can't remember. Was it Barnsley or something? Possibly. But there's one of recent years that have been like that. And you think, you never know. There are the odd ones that completely throw a cat amongst the pigeons, but we'll wait and see. Good for Barnett. Gaz, you've been following Trevor around. Any games on your own this last couple of weeks? You've been
I'm not
has he
really.
Had you on a little leash with a collar around your neck?
To be fair, I haven't been following him around. We've been to two games together in the last probably 6 weeks, so you can
but I just happened to be in the last 2 weeks though, didn't I?
it was Spenning and Barnett, wasn't it? I've done a couple of like local West Sussex grassroots games the last few weeks. Just my brother plays for one of the teams in there, so I've just sort of.
What teams were they? Go and tell the listeners.
Upper Beeding,
yeah.
He's playing for the reserves. In my opinion, he should be playing higher up than that, but maybe I'm being biased. But
that's unlike you.
Yeah, I'm not biased. I can take it. The amount of abuse I got from Man United losing 4-0 at the weekend, I can take it.
Oh, was it 4 in the end? I thought
I know, it was 3-0, three. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was 3-0, but the goal
I saw the goal just now,
yeah. So, yeah, I can take it. but, no, I've just, yeah, been quite busy. I've moved house. Obviously, still got a baby. So,
I hope so. If you, yeah. the baby's gone missing, I'd be worried you lost her in the house move.
Yeah.
In one of the boxes.
And I've just been working hard. It's Christmas, working food service, so you know what it's like. It's manic.
Yeah, you've been concocting a festive.
Yeah, we don't talk about that because it's not fully over the line yet. So
no, not that. No, not that one. Just in general, are you doing festive meals and festive platters everywhere, left, right, and centre?
Yep. Like salmon, fruit cocktails, prawns. Ooh,
a bit of smoked salmon, darling, with caviar.
Yeah.
Prawn sandwich brigade, is that what you've been
prawn
doing?
Prawn sandwich brigade, yeah.
sandwich brigade. Any sort of football we're looking forward to in the next few weeks, guys, or next couple of weeks? I mean, this is our last one before Christmas. Because the way the recording goes, I don't think we'll be recording on Christmas Day, will we, guys?
No. You can. You might actually be in the country for a change.
No, I actually am in the country. I am. I think Eastbourne for Worthing, it's a Boxing Day / New Year's Day doubleheader, which will be quite good. I'm going to the New Year's Day one as long as I can drag myself out of bed. That should be a good one I'm looking forward to because there's always a sort of new rivalry with Eastbourne and Worthing. Obviously, Eastbourne being full-time now. It'll be interesting to see. We beat them in the FA Cup just earlier in the season. Let's wait and see how that game goes because that will be... I think that'll be important games for Worthing season. I think that's where we're going to realise what happens for the rest of the season. Beat them twice like we did last season. I think we could do quite well. No, we didn't beat them twice. We won one, drew one, lost one last season. But let's wait and see. Chris, for you?
Yeah, Shields at home to Peterborough Sports on Saturday and then away to Rushwell.
I said, hey, the Gash Man.
The Gash Man.
Gash has got a gash. No?
Yeah, that was Millwall away, wasn't it? We went back up a few years ago.
the key fixtures, really, South Shields have got a doubleheader with Blyth Spartans, Boxing Day and the 30th of December. So they're two massive, massive games. So an exciting 3 weeks coming up.
30th of December, not New Year's Day.
Brought the game forward to the Saturday, the 30th, which means there's public transport, and it's a good idea. Obviously, you're playing Boxing Day, which is the Tuesday, and then you play Tuesday, Saturday. So, yeah, very exciting.
The players are well happy about that, aren't they?
Of course they are. New Year's Eve, they can go berserk.
But it's funny you say that. I'm still looking, and I think Gazzy brought it up couple of podcasts ago, there's still only like 10 points between sort of just above the relegation zone and third place in the Vanarama National League North. It's crazy.
Crazy. If Shields put together, so they've got Peterborough Sports at home, Rushall away, and then Blyth twice. You win all four, you know, that's 12. All of a sudden, you create a gap. But everybody beats everybody else. So it would be good to get a bit of consistency after a pretty difficult run. And I quizzed Julio Walker on this. Two goals in four home games. It's, you know, that was a real concern. So let's see what they've been doing on the training ground in the last 2.5 weeks. It'd be interesting to see on Saturday.
Yeah, it's weird because you look at the same comparison in the National League South, and it's 18 points. It shows how much a very similar amount of games played as well. So it shows, you know, how tight that National League North is compared to the South at the moment. I mean, I just think the South this season, I mean, that's why, as we said, Worthing are still around the playoff zone, is because there's been no consistency for really any of the teams apart from Yeovil, really.
Yeah.
Yeovil are runaway winners, I think. And Hampton. You know what? I could put it, I could put money on now, and I could say Hampton could be a shoo-in if they carry on with this form for the playoffs to win playoff promotion. I just got a feeling the way they conduct themselves when we played them away, you know, we should have been four up ourselves at halftime, but we didn't take our chances. And then they came out second half and put four past us and completely dominated. Side. And you know, the way they played. Side. They are. Very good side.
I've seen them twice this year. Very good.
Very good side. But yeah, Gaz, well, any games you're going to in the next couple
not of weeks? This week. I haven't really got anything planned. I tend to plan it last minute.
Yeah,
might
you do
go
that,
to something
you?
Saturday.
You gotta go to Worthing Maidstone, maybe.
No, I've got both the kids, so probably won't do that because a 5-month-old and a 10-year-old who doesn't like football could be carnage.
Well, if we've only got 800 fans, it needs to be plenty of room to spread out.
Yeah,
that's a bit of room there.
I think it'll be County League, probably 7 combination Prem. I'd have thought maybe Shoreham.
Nice. Just don't have their burgers. I always remember I thought it looked like food poisoning. Bless them.
Oh, I've had them a few times. All right.
Maybe they got better, but I mean, could it be just because of suppliers? But honestly, you know, sometimes you question how much meat is in an actual a product. That was definitely we called it. We looked at it and thought that's definitely giving us the shits if we eat that burger.
Yep.
But I'll let them off because that was the pandemic. That was literally the week that the Isthmian got called off at the beginning of the pandemic and they were still playing. So we thought we all went down there. So whether they didn't, I don't think they expected us. I think they might have gotten from the bottom of the freezer or something. They've been in there for 20 years.
Booker's finest.
There you go. Trev, for you, Barnet coming up or?
Yeah, Barnet Newport Tuesday night. Absolute Barnet Saturday. Can't remember where I'm going on the 19th. 23rd, Holmesdale against Glebe. Boxing Day South End Barnet's on the TV. I can't go. 30th, South End make the trip to the Hive to play us on the Saturday. And then hopefully on the New Year's Day, I'm going to Derby against Peterborough.
Have you still got your season ticket, Barnet? You have, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you have, yeah. That's the second league year in a row now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Still.
The Dean Brennan effect.
Yeah. A lot like the Tom Brady effect at the Bucks, and they got a big stand and took it down after he left. Maidstone this Saturday for myself. Hopefully get back in time from work to see the Hemel Hempstead Worthing away game on the 23rd. Can't make Boxing Day because some of us have got to work, got to pay for all those turkeys and mince pies and Christmas presents.
All those and, cruises.
Yeah, you got it. Eastbourne, obviously on New Year's Day, so I could drag myself out of bed. Then I think I might be able to make the 6th of Jan against Chelmsford before we report next. So can get actually talk about some non-league and actually not rely on Pete being on the podcast so that do the Worthing segment and me just being a keyboard warrior basically and saying what I think and what my opinion is where it's valid. But I do like the festive period. I'm glad this year we have got Eastbourne. I actually would have liked Haven over those rather because I think Haven's probably slightly closer for us and very marginally or easier to get to, I'd say, at least than from Worthing, wouldn't you
say? But then who would Eastbourne have played?
Don't care.
But haven't got Weymouth.
Eastbourne could play Tunbridge. That'd probably be closer for them, wouldn't it?
I suppose up the A22-ish.
Yeah. I don't know who haven't have got actually. I'll have a look because haven't, they're still do we go say this now? I haven't.
Tunbridge are playing Maidstone.
That's it. I haven't gonna stay promoted. I mean, they're currently as they stand, they are 13 points adrift of safety. And Truro and Slough have got two, three games in hand over them. So that gap could become a lot bigger. Do we think haven't gone as unless something significantly changes?
Farnborough,
yeah. Farnborough. That makes sense. Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
The A3.
Yeah, depends who comes in next. Depends who replaces Steve King.
Do you think they'll get rid of his fine board?
And he got some stick over that, didn't he?
Yeah, if it was real.
You would, had they lost to Dover, I think you'd have said they were definitely gone either way. But the fact they beat Dover and clawed back 3 points on them, then Dover got rid of Brundle the other week and brought in Jake LaBerle and Mike Sanderman. So might be a change on the cards for them. But their keeper's been recalled by Bournemouth, Billy Terrell, I think he was. He's been their player of the season so far at Dover, so now that'll affect him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. As I said, I think the leagues will start really forming a pattern after this festive period. By the time we probably record our next in a month's time, it will be able to line up. A bit exciting. Guys, before we wrap up, any funnies, any shout-outs?
No.
Nope.
Nothing I can think of. Farnham Town are still unbeaten, but they haven't played, Chris, I don't think, since we last recorded. So they still won 13 out of 13.
Yeah.
I bet Chris is chomping at the bit to get back to see Shields play, because it must be weird. Like, it's a little bit like, I mean, obviously, it's for work reasons for me, but it must be weird when your team's and you can't even see any results or anything if you can't make it. It's very, very strange.
I mean, I've enjoyed a couple of opportunities to do nothing over a weekend, literally just chill and do nothing. But it's kind of, I need to get back now, enjoy a couple of games.
Yeah, get that get the juices flowing again.
Get that mojo back.
Get see the fans, see your friends, have a bit of gossip.
Absolutely, that's what it's all
you,
about.
You know, you might find any gossip over this takeover, and you can fill us in on over the next
I shall keep you well abreast of anything I may or may not hear.
There we go. I'm sure you will be putting the emphasis on one of those words. we'll stop there now, guys. It's been a pleasure this year. As usual, thank you for your support in the podcast. As you saw, we shared some of our Spotify. That's only our Spotify listeners, and it was so nice to see some of you are having us in top podcasts and top 10 and top 5. So thank you for your support. As usual, the podcast don't work without you, so please do share it, please do follow us at the PNLP, tell your friends, tell your family, give someone a listen. You know, New Year's recommendations, just say what name a new podcast to listen to next year, tell them the Premier Non-League podcast, get them down to non-league games, support non-league, because that's what brought us all together. I love for the non-league game rather than commercialise. As you can tell, we've talked about it enough in this podcast regarding things like the FA Cup and everything. That's why we like non-league. Christmas is at home for you all as well, guys, or families?
Family.
Yeah.
Going for a curry on Christmas Day this year.
Really?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Where are you doing that? In Worthing?
In Worthing, yeah.
What's open on Christmas Day?
Most of the curry houses in Worthing, mate.
Like, you're not doing a Japanese Christmas, having a KFC at Christmas Day.
No.
I love that.
No, I'm looking forward to it as well.
That'd be good. Yeah. Are they doing a special menu?
Yeah.
Curries are very popular up here on Christmas Day as well. Obviously, South Shields has the Curry Mile on Ocean Road. So our Indian restaurants on Christmas Day are very, very busy.
Chris, it always reminds me when I was, I think I was 18 or 19, I had a night out in Newcastle, and I still to this day could not believe I could go for a curry at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was amazing. It was
can't
amazing.
Do that now. I don't think anywhere is open like that
really?
Anymore. I don't think so.
It'll be Greg's, won't it?
Yeah.
Greg's at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the most international thing we had down south was a kebab house. A really dog meat kebab house. But, you know, it's... That's good. No, we enjoy that, Gaz. Enjoy that. Is it turkey curry or are they actually doing their normal menu?
They got a set menu, I think. Yeah. Not a set menu. I think you can have any curry on there. But yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Good call. Eat.
And Trev, you're at home for Christmas Day as well?
Yeah, and then off to my brother's on Boxing Day.
Have you been a good boy for Santa?
Always.
Or is he going to be leaving you a lump of coal?
No, he'll be leaving me 3 points.
There we go. And on that bombshell, I think we should leave it. But thanks again. Have a good Christmas and a happy new year from everyone at the PNL. Peace. Supporting Tackle This Together. And we look forward to bringing more action and maybe another live podcast that we can actually record properly in 2024. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, chaps?
Be lovely.
Merry Christmas and a happy new year from us all.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.